news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today as we continue in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, with a message titled, Sold to Sin. For those of you that are part of our program, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along as well. But before I continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we can dive back into the book of Isaiah to know your will, your promises, Lord, that you always keep and that we can cherish and treasure, knowing that you will fulfill them. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, through your word, and we praise you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into A Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our message is that sold to sin as we look at Isaiah chapter 50. But before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, it's great to be back live. We're not face to face this time.
Yes, yes. It was a real treat, Vic, you coming out to the ministry. Folks, if you know that Vic is lives in Florida, we at Lamb and Lion Ministries, our headquarters is in near Dallas. And Vic came out and visited us, and our last podcast was recorded live. So we love that. Vic, you need to come out and visit us more. Even better, we need to come to Florida and visit you and record a podcast.
Now that will be cool, Nathan. And we'll definitely have to schedule something like that. That will be a lot of fun. And then our listeners will know that you're in Daytona. Hopefully it won't be in August when it's so hot.
Nope. Same thing. You don't want to come to Dallas in August.
Well, it was definitely a joy, Nathan, being there with the staff and just sharing together. And that was so much fun. And we're looking forward to seeing what else the Lord will have in store for us. But Nate, maybe someone is new to the program and they don't know how to get a hold of resources. Maybe you can share with them how they can do that.
Well, we welcome you to the Truth Will Set You Free podcast. It's the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. We have passion since our founder, Dr. David Reagan, founded this ministry in 1980. We've been proclaiming the signs of the times do indicate that the Lord is coming. So we're excited about that. We hope that you will be excited about that too as we continue to study. Vic and I are evangelists with Lamb and Lion Ministries. And not only can you find our podcasts on our website at christinprophecy.org, through pray.com, Apple Podcasts, RSS feed, and Spotify, many other platforms. You can also find our TV and radio programs called the Christ in Prophecy. We have a newsletter that you can sign up for and get bi-weekly updates on what's going on in the world from a prophetic perspective. We have the Lamplighter Magazine, just so many articles and social media that you can plug into. And we'll just continue to study the Bible together. We'll continue to rejoice in the fact that, yes, Jesus Christ is coming soon. So check us out, christinprophecy.org, or download our Lamb Lion app.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nate, for sharing that. And Nate, in addition to those resources, also speaking opportunities. You guys were just at a conference, and you and I were talking a little bit about it. That was a lot of fun. And folks can also invite us out, and we'll do some of those events as well.
Yeah, folks, both Vic and myself, our director, Tim Moore, wherever we're invited to, churches and conferences, we come and proclaim God's word. Vic's referring to the fact that Tim and I went up to Canada, to Ontario, just recently, and we were at a church up there, wonderful church, good people, love the Lord. We had a good time, about 600 of us just praising the Lord and studying God's word. So if you're a pastor or are a pastor and would like to have a conference or a church service where one of our evangelists come and speak, please just go to our website, christinprophecy.org, and you can click the contact form and reach us. And hey, if you're a Spanish-speaking church, Vic can do both Spanish and English. He's extra talented. So contact Vic, and he'd love to share God's word with your church. In Espanol.
En Espanol. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Yeah, I would appreciate prayers. We're actually... soon we're going to be releasing the Navigating the Revelation Letters book in Spanish, Nate. So that should be coming out.
Wonderful.
Uh, this month. So yes, in case anyone is interested in bilingual resources, we can make some of those available to them as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, our online store is filled with books and resources to help you go deeper. You know, Vic and I only have about a half hour here to dive into Isaiah, but we have many, many other resources that go much deeper that help you just grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that why we're here on this earth? To do good works and then to spend eternity with in fellowship with our Savior. So,
Oh, praise
brother,
the
I
Lord.
long. That's why studying the Bible is just like a foretaste of the future that we're going to have forever with our Savior.
Oh, Nate, and the book of Isaiah is such a special book. I mean, today we're going to be diving into chapter 50, and it's been a little bit of a journey. But Nathan, would you agree? It's been so much fun.
Yeah, we for years have held off on doing Isaiah because it's so long, 66 chapters. And some of you come up to us and tell us that, you know, you've been following along. And I just, wow, that's great. And it's important if you want to catch up, actually, just again, go and watch or excuse me, listen to the previous podcast in the series. We're up to 50, the magic number, right? A great milestone. And unfortunately, there's 66 chapters in Isaiah, so we got a little ways to go. But 50, brother, I think we've hit a milestone.
Oh, I think so. And Nathan, with that, we can dive right in. And in case someone doesn't have a Bible, we'll be reading from the New King James Bible in Isaiah chapter 50. Nate, would you be able to open us up there in chapter 50, verses 1 and 2, and I'll 1 through 3, and I'll read 4 and 5 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Okay, chapter 50, verse 1 through 3. Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce? Whom have I put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I came, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering.
Verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ears, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Nathan, the opening verses really come in a little bit strong, and maybe someone is reading this and saying, whoa, what is going on here?
Well, this book of Isaiah is through the prophet Isaiah. Give a little context. This is 700 years before Christ's first coming. So this is 700 BC. So we're talking 2,700 years ago. And the Lord is contending with his people who continually turn away from him and turn to idols or turn to other nations for their protection. And the Lord's making a case chapter after chapter. He's comparing himself to these nations, comparing himself to these worthless idols. And he's saying, look, I am the God of the universe. I have all power and authority, and yet you continue to turn away from me and turn to worthless things that can't help you. So sometimes as we read this, you can feel God's anger, his frustration at his people's pigheadedness. And other times, you know, there's a real loving, and we got to remember that Isaiah just didn't sit down and write all 66 chapters in one shot. He wrote them over the course of his life ministering. So we're getting glimpses into different time periods within his life where the Lord had a message through Isaiah to the people. And here we got again, the Lord's like, you know, you've sold yourself into slavery, basically, instead of calling on me for help. And again, he's comparing. He says, look, I clothe the heavens with blackness. In other words, outer space, it's the darkness. I created all that. You know, I've got all this infinite power, and yet you turn away from me. And oh man, you could just hear God's frustration in this.
Nathan, and the words that he uses, the reason why, I mean, basically because of their lifestyle and their choice. Today we have a world, Nate, you would agree, that is also pretty much sold to sin. I mean, everywhere, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And we see also that mistake the children of Israel made. Wrote a wonderful book, including the book of Hosea, in the minor prophets, Nate. And Hosea, also chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 speak of Israel's harlotry, prostitution, where it says in Hosea 1, 2, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. Nate, isn't that what we're seeing also even today?
Yeah, humans are humans. I love the Muppets Take Manhattan, where Kermit the Frog was talking to a guy who owned a pizza shop, and he gave a lesson to Kermit. He said, peoples are peoples. And that's always stuck in my head, because it's interesting when you read the Bible and you're like, what is wrong with these people? And then you look around today and you're like, what is wrong with these people? Peoples are peoples. We might live in different time periods, but you know, we still have the same human strengths and weaknesses depending on nothing. I mean, that's just part of human nature. And so today, you're right, brother. I will see people chase after the stupidest things, you know, pride and fame and Hollywood movie stars and technology and science and you name it. They're all chasing after all of these things, and not the God of the universe who provides all wisdom and all knowledge. And he sacrificed himself. He died on the cross for our sins. It shows him his love for us. I mean, what dollar bill has ever loved us? But the God of the universe has loved us, and he's promised us eternal life with him when we give our lives to him. And I think that's the crux of the issue, is that the people that we read here in Isaiah and today don't want to surrender their lives to the Lord. They're like, well, then I won't get to do what I want to do. You know, I want to sleep around with as many people as possible. I want to take all the drugs I want. You know, I want to steal these things. I want to, you know, we just want to sin. But the Lord tells us that our sins are killing us. They're sending us to hell. And so he's calling out to the people, come back, come back. You know, there was a scene, you ever see the Rocky Five? It was probably not the more famous of the Rocky movies, but I like the idea that Rocky had lost all his money after fighting the big bad Russian, and he had to go back to his roots. He moved back to Philadelphia in a row home, and he found a young boxer that he could train. And the boxer was just amazing. Tommy Two Guns, I think he was called, or Machine Guns. And he got better and better until all of a sudden the corporate agent started courting him and enticed him away from Rocky. And Rocky, so the guy's in his cars with his girls. He's going to sign up this big contract. And Rocky's like, you know, you're not ready. You're not ready. And the guy just basically he shuts down Rocky. He's not grateful for anything he did for him. And he drives off down the street, and Rocky chases after him. And of course, he's got head damage, so he collapses. And there's just something about that that always resonated with me, that it's like God, when you read these passages, you know, he's, you know, we're the guys in the cars running away, rejecting our creator who loved us, who poured so much time into us. And he's saying, wait, wait, this is the wrong path. You're going to get hurt. You're going to die. And this is what God's saying here, guys. And what's going to happen? Well, the northern tribes up in Israel were taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and the Babylonian Empire is starting to grow and will take over Israel in 586 BC, will be the final deportation. So the Lord knows this is coming down the pipe, and he's calling them, repent, repent, repent. Even Jeremiah, who was there during the exile, along with Ezekiel, God through them was still calling, repent, repent, repent. And they just wouldn't do it.
Nathan, and that's why so much of this it speaks to us volumes today. It's almost like a abusive relationship. That's why verse 1 opens up with a certificate of divorce. Imagine if you're married, you're in a relationship, and one individual just chooses to do whatever they want, right, Nathan? They break their promises, they break their vows, and they do not want to repent. Well, legally today, they have divorce papers, in a sense. Back then, they will offer a certificate of divorce. And it's almost like saying, hey, look, you're not willing to repent. You want to go your way? Well, then this legally allows me to move forward. And that's what was happening here, is in a sense, God is saying these individuals broke their promise. They want nothing to do with the vows that they've held. And therefore, here's what's going to await them.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing, too, is when you back at that time, you know, you couldn't declare bankruptcy like you could today. Unfortunately, it makes spending money and then not paying it back a little too easy today. But back then, boy, you didn't pay your debts back. You were sold into slavery, or your family was sold into slavery. And that's what these people had done to themselves. They had sold them into slavery to their sins, but also to slavery to false gods, which are demons behind them, and to other foreign nations for protection. And so this is what they're doing. And you could even argue that today, Israel, which is about 75% secular humanist, will always run to the United States or Great Britain or another country for help before they'll run to God. And God's going to fix some of that, just like back then, when he's trying to fix some of that in this day. There's going to be a time of peace and safety coming, which, Vic, I think we're watching it right now. I think as Israel, with the United States' help, is defeating every enemy of Israel in the Middle East, and now with the Iranian war, putting Iran down, the Bible prophesies that there will be a time of peace that Israel will experience, but it will be a preface for Russia leading an Islamic coalition against Israel and overwhelming her. And that's when God steps in and supernaturally destroys these armies. Folks, you can read about this in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. It's called the War of Gog and Magog. And it says that the result is the Jewish people and even the whole world will know there's a God. And brother, I think that's coming up. Not tomorrow. You got to have that peace first. But, you know, in the years ahead, that's coming up. God's not going to let them run after the United States or, you know, run after their own technology for very long. He wants them back, and he's going to take them back.
Nathan, and that's very eye-opening just to know the times in which we're living in. I mean, it's just overwhelmingly amazing to me how Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. This Sunday, a church I was teaching through the book of Proverbs, and that was also indicating to our small congregation there, the importance of understanding the signs of the time, because people were understanding Iran and also the United States as well as Israel. And I pointed them to say, look, the Bible has a lot to say about this, but we need to be ready, because if we're seeing these events happening right before our eyes, that means that other events are at the door. And we believe the next major event, Nate, is the rapture.
Absolutely. And the rapture is, you read verse 2 here, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? What we're talking about is the Lord gathering the redeemed, those who've been saved, up to be with him in heaven. We call that the rapture of the church. And I think that's going to actually happen before this Gog and Magog war, because God right now in the church age reveals himself through the church. But at the result of the Gog Magog war, when he steps in personally and defeats these armies, I mean, with supernatural earthquakes and hail and turning the armies on themselves and sending fire back on those countries, that's like Old Testament judgment, and God is revealing himself through Israel. And so to me, I think that's an after the rapture. So if we're that close to the Gog Magog war, how much closer are we to the rapture?
Nathan, that's exactly why I think this might be our last program. No, I'm just kidding. But
I hope, brother. I love doing these programs with you. I love that you all tune in and listen. But hey, if the Lord is going to take us home today, and isn't it better to be at home with Jesus in our glorified bodies than to continue on this rat race here on earth?
Oh, man, absolutely. And Nathan, speaking of this, as we look at the next verses, we see how personal this message becomes as we look at verses 6 through 10 here in Isaiah chapter 50. Would you be able to open us up there, Nate, with verses 6 through 8, chapter 50, verses 6 through 8, and I'll do 9 through 11 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
All right, verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me.
Verse 8, surely the Lord will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. Nate, verse 6,
whoa,
how amazing
yeah.
that is inserted in there.
I you got shivers when you read verse 6, because folks, this is a messianic passage prophesying what will happen to the Messiah at his crucifixion. So it kind of starts in verse 5 there, where he talks, he didn't turn away. In other words, when it came time for Jesus to give himself up and sacrifice himself on the cross, though he asked the Lord to take that cup away, the Father said no. And so Jesus, in perfect obedience, was committed to sacrificing himself on the cross. You know, he was tortured before, even before he was put on the cross. It says, I gave my back to those who struck me. And so we know Jesus was flogged viciously. I mean, his back was torn to shreds. Also, he says, my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. We know from the Gospels that, yes, as part of the torturing, the Roman guards grabbed his beard and ripped the hair out. And they say that he was so disfigured from his face being punched and kicked and the beard pulling out that he was almost unrecognizable. And yet it says here, I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. So even though the people were spitting on him and mocking him and pushing crown of thorns upon his head, I mean, he was just being treated horrifically. He did not hide his face. In other words, he was resolute. He was proud of what he was doing because he was bringing salvation to the world, even the cosmos, the creation. And so he was doing all that for us. He was sacrificing himself. So you're right, Vic. Man, I read this and it just, to think that Jesus is talking here through Isaiah 700 years before this event even happens.
Nathan, that's why the Bible is so amazing and so prophetic. That's why I encourage people to take time to read through the whole Bible. Once they read through the whole Bible, they will see how everything fits hand in glove, because someone might be reading this and they've maybe just read the Gospels and they're reading and then say, wait a minute, this sounds very familiar. Exactly, because in Matthew chapter 26, verse 67, when Jesus was brought before Caiaphas, it says that they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. And this is prophecy, Nate, right back as you and I have mentioned, the prophecy oftentimes is for the present, for the future, and for the far future. And here in Isaiah, we find a prophecy leading to the future. And then, Nate, when we get to Isaiah chapter 53, that's going to be an amazing passage, so clear about crucifixion.
Yeah, the Isaiah 53 is about the suffering servant. It's so messianic that the people in Judaism skip it. They won't read it because it reveals the fact that, yes, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And so, boy, I'm looking forward to getting to that one. But you still see peppered throughout all of Isaiah many, many messianic passages like this one. I love verse 7. He says, I have set my face like a flint. In other words, you know, he's hardened his resolution. He is going to do this. He is going to provide salvation. And who's he providing salvation for? For a people who continually reject him. I mean, my goodness, Vic, not only did God create us, but we keep turning on him, even though he's our creator, but then he gives us life so that we can have salvation and live with him forever. And still people mock it and laugh at it and turn it down. It really shows how wicked and corrupt the human heart is.
Oh, Nathan, the grace of God is so extensive. To me, oftentimes like you, you wonder, Lord, why did you choose me? I'm a wretched sinner.
Yeah.
And it just shows his grace, Nathan, the undeserved mercy of God. And that's why there's so many people that we just need to pray for. There's a lot of wickedness in this world, but that used to be us when we were blinded. So we need to continue to pray for our nation, for the, I mean, these days, Nathan, it seems to me that everything is resolved by shooting. You don't like somebody, shoot them. You don't like, and what's happening to our nation is so much anger, there's so much sin. And that's why Jesus came to redeem the lost, right, Nathan? The people would turn and he will reach out to them. And there's nobody that's too far away from God that God cannot reach, right, Nate? That's why it says here, his arm is not short that he can't save.
Absolutely, yeah. And I like how he challenges his enemies too, because he says, who is my adversary or master of my judgment? And we know that he's talking about Satan. In other words, like, you know, come at me. And we read in Psalm 22, the fact that around the cross, the demons were laughing and mocking Jesus. The people couldn't see it, but the Satan thought he had finally defeated the Son of God. And yet here he is in Isaiah saying, come after me. What's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Basically, that says, you who condemn me will grow old like a garment. the moth will eat you up. In other words, you may think I'm dying, but I will live forever and you will die forever. And that should be humbling, because if we have not given our lives to Jesus Christ, if we have not surrendered our lives to him in faith and repentance, then that's our destiny. We fall under the same judgment meant for Satan and his demons, and that's hell, lake of fire.
Nathan, I love, because verse 10 here, as we get ready to close, we only have a few minutes left of the program. It's a call. It's a question. Who among you fears the Lord, right? And then he closes there. Let him trust in the name of the Lord our God and rely upon his God. And I think, Nate, that's what I love about God, the messages in Isaiah and throughout the Bible, that there's always a calling for repentance. There's always a calling for that one who's listening or has an ear to hear. In the book of Revelation, right, Nate, chapters 2 and 3, the message to the church is whoever has an ear to hear or listen. And today, we make that call to anyone that's part of this program. Maybe you don't know Jesus personally. Well, the Lord is calling out to you, whoever fears the Lord. And Nate, that's why we love the Holy Spirit, his work, because God is always providing opportunities for people so that no one would end up in the terrible place called hell.
Yeah, yeah. I love the call in verse 10. Who walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. You know, Vic, maybe if someone tuned in here feels like they're walking in the darkness. Their life is just darkness and pain and suffering. Well, the Lord has a door that you can go through to get out of that, and that is to turn to him. He's calling you, come to me. You who are weary, I will carry your burden. He promises to forgive your sins and take that guilt that weighs you down and makes you so miserable off you, to cleanse your life, to give you hope and joy, and then eventually eternal life with him. There's no comparison. You know, the fleeting sins of this world bring no joy compared to the everlasting joy we will experience with Jesus.
Well said, Nate. And you know, maybe Nathan's words have spoken to you and you don't have a relationship with God, and you find yourself that you're realizing, wow, I was in the darkness and I want to come to the light. Well, the Bible is clear that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the Bible is also clear that if we repent from our sins and confess them, recognize that we are sinners, God will forgive us for our sins. Maybe you recognize that in your life, you were sold to sin, much like we were reading here, but today you're willing to turn to God. Well, we want to give you an opportunity right now to reconcile with God, to come back to him, and God will be waiting for you with open arms. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And maybe that's you. Maybe you have a desire to start the relationship with God. Well, you can do that even right now with a very simple prayer. And if you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart, God will transform your life. And wherever you are, you can just call on the name of the Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. And wherever you are, if you pray that prayer for the first time, God has granted you salvation. We would also love to hear from you, to rejoice with you. You can call us at 305-992-9537 or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. And Nathan and I would love to rejoice, because, Nate, that's what we do this program, right? To encourage people to heaven.
Absolutely, yes. There's only one decision that matters the most in life, and that's heaven or hell. What have you decided?
Praise the Lord. And again, for those of you that trusted in God, we congratulate you. Well, we ran out of time for this segment of our program. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but